Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
Now, I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I don't know if you guys can tell. I am a bit hoarse, though. It was a long weekend, especially on Friday evening. Well, I should say afternoon into the evening. A long, long day in which I really had to strain my voice a bit. I'll tell you why that was so later on this hour. But I want to let you guys know what we have in store on this Monday. Can't believe that it's already really the end of the month, October 23rd, 2017. A lot to get to as Michigan State wrapped up homecoming this past weekend and the MSU football team gets another dub. This one in particularly special because it's now six wins for Michigan State football, meaning they are guaranteed a bowl game. Fun stuff there. We'll tell you how Michigan State was able to top Indiana on Saturday afternoon. We will also be inviting to the show a special Monday edition of a chat with Zach Berridge, WILX TV 10 sports anchor and reporter. Usually we have Zach, a part of current sports, each and every Friday to help us preview the night in high school football. But this day is pretty special because, you know, I watched the local news last night and saw many of our local teams huddling around a television watching the Fox Sports Detroit High School Football Selection Show and just going absolutely crazy upon seeing their school in the dance and matched up against a certain said team. So Zach will help us preview week one of high school football playoff action that will get underway later on this week. You don't want to miss that. We have about 21 Lansing area football teams that will be in the dance and hoping to make a state championship appearance come true. And also back to college football briefly, we'll also chat about the University of Michigan football team as they were on primetime television. They were the game against Penn State out in Happy Valley on Saturday night. Could not get the job done against the Penn State Nittany Lions, which look for real, especially Saquon Barkley. I mean, the kid is absolutely amazing. Can we just hand him the Heisman Trophy right now? But it's so crazy how this year is already gone because we started the year with U of M ranked as a top 10 college football program. And now you look at things, and we start the year with Michigan State not even being ranked as a top 25 college football program. But now you have Michigan State ranked, and now you have the Wolverines unranked. How in the world did we get here? We'll have that chat and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join the conversation via Facebook.com/current sports. I know a lot of our listeners out there are probably losing their mind right now, Engineer Isaac Constance, because my phone is tripping on this Monday. Technology, right?
And unbelievable.
Right. I'm telling you, dude, we don't have the live stream up and running via Facebook.com/current sports right now, but I'm working on it. All right. Bear with me. Again, multiple ways you can listen, though. If you're in your car, 94.5 FM or AM 870. You know, the TuneIn radio app as well. Go to WKAR.org. So multiple other ways that you can listen. And you can also join the conversation via Twitter as well. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. In the meantime, let's start this party like we always do. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. right, and we start with Lansing area high school football, as of course Friday night marked the final night of regular season high school football action. And hey, Lansing, we have 21 Lansing area high school football teams that are in the dance, dancing in the playoffs. How about that? Now, only six of the 21 teams will face off against each other in the opening round, with Lansing Catholic facing off against Olivet and Ovid Elsie at Portland in Region 3 of Division 5. Lansing Sexton will also battle against Lakewood in Region 3 of Division 4. We have a ton of other games that we'll be diving into very lightly with Zach Beeridge of WILX TV 10. Zach will join us actually from the Breslin Center because today also marks Michigan State Women's Basketball Media Day. I'll be taking off to the Brez literally right after we get off the airwaves because Susie Merchant will be talking at 2 p.m. So Zach was so kind to join us around. He'll be on the show around the 1:45 mark. Want to give Okemos High School some props here because the finishing touches were put on the Okemos tennis team's season this past Saturday as they brought home the Division II state title. This is the program's first championship since the spring of 2007. The Chiefs totaled 37 points, finishing 16 ahead of runner-ups Birmingham Groves and Midland Dow. Okemos won state titles at six of the eight flights. Shrey Patel finished as the number three singles champion, while Daniel Gorlick took first at number four singles. The Chiefs also won every doubles fight. Danakar Talarui and Zal Tinoy were the number two seed at number one doubles, but emerged as the champ. And Karthik Kolisity and Aditya Kandula. Wow, these names are really hitting me hard today. They were seeded second at number four doubles and also won. Congratulations to all of them. Again, the Okemos boys tennis team winning the state championship. I saw Ira Childress hit me up in my email last night and pass that news along to me. Ira, of course, the athletic director at Okemos High School. Very cool stuff. And we look to get members of that team later on this week on Current Sports. So keep it locked right here to Current Sports. Should be a very fun week, especially for high school sports. All right, John LeBlanc, we will talk now MSU football, as MSU football seems to be trending upward. Am I right?
You are definitely right. MSU has jumped up two spots in the AP poll this week, moving from number 18 to number 16 in the nation, sitting behind the now number 15 Washington State Cougars. This is the third week in a row the Spartans have been ranked, and is also the third straight week where they've moved up. The number 16 Spartans will take on the 4-3 Northwestern Wildcats this Saturday in Evanston, Illinois. That game is scheduled to kick off at 3:30 p.m. and will air on ESPN.
All right, and we'll have more from MSU football. I had Saturday off. Isaac Constance, as well as our current sports intern Jacob Herbert, were at the game. You know, I watched. You know, because I watch all your snaps, Isaac, and I went back on your Snapchat story later on Saturday night as I'm trying to like recap what happened in the game, and you had a snap of the student section yet again not showing up, dude. It was like a big hole in the student section.
It's so sad, and I appreciate you watching all my snaps. I really do, but no, I mean that one, it couldn't have gone unnoticed because it was so blatantly glaring,
right.
In the audience that the entire place was filled up. It's homecoming. And then the student section has a gap of hundreds of students, if not thousands.
And what more does this team have to do? I mean, this team is now 6-1. They're now bowl eligible, coming off a 3-9 season. I mean, show up. Just show up, guys. It really irks me. We'll have more on the Michigan State win over Indiana in just a moment, though. Thank you for that, John. Also, following the Spartans' victory over Indy, sophomore linebacker Joe Bocci has been named as the Big Ten Co-Defensive Player of the Week earlier today. This is the second time Bocci has been honored by the Big Ten. Bocci recorded a career-high 13 tackles and had a forced fumble against Indiana. Currently, Bocci is third in the Big Ten and leads Michigan State with 63 tackles on the year. Joe Bocci has been just a beast this season. All right, Michigan State trending upward, U of M trending downward. John.
Very downwards, while the Spartans move up to number 16 in the nation. The Wolverines moved out of the AP Top 25 poll after brutally losing to the number 2 Penn State Nittany Lions 42-13. This is the first time the Wolverines haven't been ranked since September 27, 2015. The Wolverines will face off against the 3-4 Rutgers team that actually has a two-game winning streak going in this game, beating Illinois Illinois, and Purdue. Wolverines are currently 23.5-point favorites against the Scarlet Knights. Saturday's game will kick off at noon in Ann Arbor and will air on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah, we'll have more on the Wolverines falling as hard as they did against Penn State later on this hour. Thank you for that, John, as well. All right, Caitlin, what's up with your Detroit Red Wings? Four straight losses, right?
Yeah, four straight. It's been rough go the last week. I mean, when you look at their schedule, they were playing. That was a real tough week. They didn't have Vancouver. Like, the Vancouver game wasn't on their tough game schedule. It was the Tampa, the Toronto, and the Washington game.
Gotcha.
And then Vancouver was their worst game of the four.
Right, right.
And so,
what happened in the latest loss? I mean, I know they fall. Yeah. They fell. Four to one, right? Yep.
4-1 loss last night, and they just didn't look like they showed up to play. Like, Friday night, showed up to play. They wanted to win that game. They just couldn't do it.
I feel like we're going to be talking about the Wings going up and down a lot this year. And, yeah, you know, their lone goal came in the first period off the stick of Anthony Mantha, who received a pass from Gustav Nyquist to tie the game at 1-1. So this week, the Wings hit the road again. They will face, what, Buffalo tomorrow night, right?
Buffalo, and then they hit the two Florida teams later this week in Tampa and then Florida on Saturday or Sunday.
Good opportunity for them to get back on track, right?
Hopefully they can get back on track.
It's the beginning of the
year.
Because
it
could be
a lot like last season where they weren't good at the Joe, but they were decent on the road. So it could be another one of those seasons where, hey, we're not going to be playing well at Little Caesars, but we'll play decent enough on the road.
Road Warriors, huh? All right. Yeah. We'll be following throughout the week and have commentary from you as well. Thank you for that, Caitlin. All right. My Detroit Pistons picked up their second win of the season this past Saturday, beating the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, 111-107. Tobias Harris led the team in scoring with 31 points, shooting 13 for 24 from the field. Andre Drummond shot 9 for 11, totaling up to what, 21 points and 12 boards. But did have 5 turnovers in the in that game. Now, Detroit will play tonight against the 0-3 Philadelphia 76ers at 7 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. You can catch that game on Fox Sports Detroit. And how about this? We have your two teams that are left standing that will be, that will now compete for a World Series championship. The 2017 World Series will kick off tomorrow night as the L.A. Dodgers. How about that? We'll welcome the Houston Astros to L.A. for Game 1. Aces Dallas Keuchel and Clayton Kershaw will be the two starting pitchers for Game 1. Keuchel has a career postseason ERA of 1.78 in 5 starts, while Kershaw has a 3.63 ERA through 17 1/3 innings this postseason. First pitch scheduled for 8 p.m. and will air on Fox. This should be a very entertaining slate. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Because they're not doing as much, but at the same time, you know, when Miles spoke to everybody, and one of the neater things I've ever been a part of, his line to have everybody meet him at Sparty was, "It's not about me, it's about us." Not because you have to, it's because you get to. You get to be part of this special, special team. Get to be a part of this special community. And our word for the whole year is to try to change the world. We'll make the world a better place.
All right, happy Monday, fun day, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It's October 23rd, 2017. Wow. What a weekend. What a weekend. I'm still, my voice, I don't know if you guys can tell, my voice is still recovering from Friday. And just a crazy day because, you know, and Isaac knows because we, right after I got off the airwaves on Friday, I went downstairs because the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic was taking place, and I was a member of an amazing panel, just, you know, giving advice to young Michigan State journalism students on how to get into the sports broadcasting or sports journalism industry and what to do once you do make that move. After that, I had about 30 minutes to meet up with Isaac down at the Union and begin to prep alongside Terry Braverman and Sherry Jones of Channel 6 News as we emceed the Michigan State Homecoming Parade. For now, this is our second year doing that, Isaac. Always a fun event, right? That was fun stuff, right?
Great. Big thanks to Regina Cross and the Alumni Association for that one.
Definitely, definitely. And I was really hoping to see Regina on Friday. I'm pretty sure she was so busy that day, though. But that was fun, so did that. And then about, you know, 30 minutes after that, I had to be down at the Breslin Center to prepare for Michigan State. Well, they don't call it Midnight Madness anymore. A lot of people always say, oh, it's Midnight Madness. No, they call it Michigan State Madness because technically it doesn't begin, you know, at midnight anymore. But I went down there and did that. But, you know, my voice is my moneymaker, Isaac. You know, that's how I pay the bills, brother. And you don't realize just how important your voice is in this industry. Just the health of your voice until you begin to lose it. So Sunday, I woke up like, oh my goodness. It felt like I was sick, but I wasn't. My voice has just been strained and I couldn't really talk. So it's a lot better today, but man, oh man, I've never done a day like that. Four events in the span of what, you know, what, 9-10 hours. Crazy. Fun stuff, though. Friday was fun.
Yeah, you were the busiest man in East Lansing and Michigan itself on that day. I mean, that was crazy watching you jump from place to place to place. But yeah, it was all Sparty homecoming related. And then, you know, come homecoming, it's a great way to get to see everybody. It's doing all sorts of these different events. You get to see every single subsect of the crowd and whatnot. It's really a very cool experience, actually, being on that side.
Oh, it's nothing like it, man. And, you know, Tyler Oakley was the MSU Grand Marshal. I had no idea who Tyler Oakley was until about, what, 2 months ago. And, you know, he did a fantastic job. He's actually a graduate of Michigan State University, obviously, right? Because, you know, he's a Grand Marshal. But the College of Communication Arts and Sciences is where he got his degree. And saw him at the parade. Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team, they didn't make it. They were kind of prepping up to the hour when it comes to MSU Madness. And then we saw even the MSU women's basketball team as well. It was pretty frantic for them having to go from the parade to the Breslin, and we actually saw Susie Merchant. And I joked when she drove by us because she just kind of like sped past everybody because she was running late, and we saw her we saw her speed past us, and I made a comment like, oh my goodness, Susie Merchant is going to get a speeding ticket. And, you know, she saw me after MSU Madden. She's like, I'm so sorry, Al. You know, we were just trying to just drive by because I was running late to get here. So it was pretty funny stuff. But I hope you guys had a fun time at MSU Homecoming. Those who attended the festivities, such as the parade and such as MSU Madness, and those that did make it for the Michigan State and Indiana game. And speaking of Michigan State and Indiana, and speaking of college football, we start there. The Michigan State football team, they're now ranked, as you heard from our very own John LeBlanc, Michigan State football is now ranked number 16 in the latest Associated Press college football poll. Pretty impressive stuff. They moved from number 18 to 16, so two spots up after the win against Indiana. And, you know, again, I did not cover that game on Saturday. We had Isaac and Jacob Herbert out at that game on Saturday. You know, I'm following the game on my phone, and, of course, yesterday I watched the game. But that was a classic Big Ten showdown. Not a lot of offense. Two teams going at it. A very in-your-face defensive battle. And, you know, right now, I think what we're learning
with this Michigan State football team is that this defense is for real. And there are going to be, I believe, many Saturdays from here on out for the rest of the year where Brian Lewerke and that offense may not have it to start off, especially. And Michigan State is going to lean on that defense to keep them in the game. And that's exactly what happened in that Saturday matchup against Indiana. You know, Michigan State's defense held the Hoosiers to just 3 field goals, including stopping 2 drives in short field. And one of those after Madre London coughed up the football at their own 15. The Michigan State defense was able to hold Indiana to just 253 offensive yards, just 95 of them coming on the ground. And when it comes to national ranking, MSU's defense is now ranked number 4 in total defense, allowing just 262.3 yards per game. Impressive stuff. You know, following that game, Isaac, you know, I said to myself, all right. And of course, the big storyline as well. And I'm seeing an article here. This is coming from the Lansing State Journal. Graham Couch wrote a very interesting piece that really goes at those who criticized and bashed junior running back LJ Scott for his invalid license and for getting arrested last week on Wednesday due to that. And, you know, we were all wondering whether or not Mark D'Antonio was going to even play LJ Scott in light of that news. We talked about it on Friday's show, and it was so funny because, you know, about an hour after we got off the air at Current Sports, Mark D'Antonio, he released a statement and basically said, hey, LJ is good now. You know, at one point he said in the statement, quote, it's a long process to get a license, end quote. And he goes on to say that LJ is fine now. He has a valid license. He's done the things necessary in order to make sure his license is okay. And, you know, with the exception of what I think like one drive, LJ Scott played, and he played rather well. I must say, LJ Scott, you know, when looking at, you know, his numbers, had a strong game now for the second straight week. You know, he had a breakout game against Minnesota. LJ on Saturday rushed for 87 yards on 22 carries and had an 18-yard touchdown with about 2 minutes left to play that really, you know, put the fork into the Hoosiers. And he now has, you know, looking at the stats, he now has 105 carries for 495 yards, 4 touchdowns in 6 games. He's averaging almost 83 yards on the ground per game. And since sitting out against Michigan due to injury concerns, he has 281 yards and 3 scores. So going back to that article, the title of Graham Couch's column in today's sports page for the LSJ says, quote, spare me outrage on Scott playing. And Couch has Scott's back in this. I don't know if you checked this article out, Isaac. It's very well written. I mean, Graham Couch is one of my favorite, you know, columnists in the area. Mm-hmm. He does a great job of just kind of going through what happened and basically arguing that, hey, young people are going to have mistakes. LJ Scott did what he needed to do to get his license back. He had no problem with him playing. I'm curious, what was that like leading up to kickoff? I mean, was there any chatter amongst you and other media members saying, oh, is LJ Scott going to play? And did you agree with LJ playing on Saturday?
I think he absolutely should have been allowed to play. And Mark D'Antonio actually addressed that in his post-game presser as well. And he said, essentially, this kid has paid his fines, literally. It's not as if the penalty was cheap. He was brought to jail because of it, and he paid his bond. He got out. It's not as if he was arrested for anything violent or anything even disobedient. It was for getting his license, and not even his license, the paperwork for it, having had a temporary license. I know how difficult that can be. Now, 7 times, you can say, dude, you got to be smarter than that. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of tough love in this situation and saying, LJ, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's more of a forgetfulness than anything that would cause D'Antonio, in my opinion, to bench him. So I didn't have a problem with that. There certainly was that chatter going into that game. But I've got to say, I've got to call out one media member who, of course, was not in attendance and doesn't even follow the team. But I don't know if you saw Dan Dockage's tweet.
No, I didn't.
That guy's
what did Dan say?
Dan tweeted,
sometimes can just be so annoying.
He's so irresponsible. He's not a journalist. And the guy tweeted out that L.J. Scott was arrested for the seventh time this year and shouldn't be on the team, more or less.
He was
arrested for the seventh time this year. We have to clarify, L.J. Scott was not arrested for the seventh time this year. As a journalist, you just cannot be so free with your words, irresponsible, and as slanted and biased as Dockage is. What an irresponsible tweet.
And that's Dockage for you. I mean, we talked extensively about what happened last year during the MSU men's basketball year, where he talked about how, he went after some MSU students on Twitter and said, hey, you're only at Michigan State because you couldn't get in at Michigan. And those comments blew up. Tom Izzo got a hold of those comments after the game and just tore into Dan Dockage at the presser and said, I don't know how ESPN can even employ someone like that. But I'm not going to waste my breath anymore on Dan Dodgers.
As you should.
On the show. Exactly, right. But, I'm curious because, it's the thing, though. We're so reactionary, and I say this a lot. We're so reactionary, fans are, I should say, when it comes to stories like the one of L.J. Scott's. And what I've learned, one of the biggest lessons I've learned since being here at WKAR is when you see a story like that, a story that deals with legal implications concerning an athlete, concerning a coach or anything, I give myself a moment to not crack open my phone, to not open my laptop and begin giving my opinion immediately on social media. I kind of give myself some time to just let the story digest a bit, to try and wrap my head around the facts of it. And then I go about processing it, and then you'll get my opinion. You're not going to see me, immediately when I see a story, like L.J. Scott saying, oh, my goodness, the kid's an idiot. I'm not going there, because I've done that before with certain situations, back during my beginning tenure here at WKAR, where it's like, man, I look back at it like, man, I should have let that just settle on the mind a bit, But as far as the Spartans go now, talking about this team, before we hit this first break, talking about this team overall, I mean, it's amazing that right now on October 23rd, that this team already is bowl eligible. I heard Brian Lewerke in his post-game press conference on Saturday, Isaac, say that the entire team signed a bowling ball because now they're going bowling. I mean, you get six wins, you're guaranteed to play in some sort of bowl game. But this is a team that came off a 3-9 year, and you look at what they've done now, and they are, I think that right now, again, and I'm vying for this, I wish I could vote for this, but right now I don't know who else you can bring up that has done a better coaching job coming off the year that Michigan State had, coming off the offseason that Michigan State had. I don't know if there are many coaches out there that could have done what Coach D'Antonio has done just seven games into the season. It is truly remarkable. And, the way this team has gone about it has been so mature of the players. They've truly ignored the criticism and gotten tighter as a unit. And you can see it, man. If you have a bond and chemistry that is unparalleled in the locker room, that usually, not all times, but that usually is going to lead to direct success in the win column. And you can see it with this group, man. I mean, when you watch them, and I watch some of the post-game coverage, I mean, they're high-fiving each other, giving each other hugs. I mean, it's just really cool to see the bond of this team. And then you talk about playmakers, L.J. Scott, a great game for him. Joe Bocci in that defense has been stout. And, it's amazing because, again, when that offense was not getting the job done, I'm pretty sure you probably cracked a few yawns covering that game on Saturday, Isaac. I mean, a low-scoring affair. We really didn't see a lot of action until, the last 6 minutes of the game, where Michigan State did have that go-ahead touchdown And how about Hunter Rising? A big catch for him, I saw. Yeah. You know, young pup stepping up. That's the type of, you know, that's what I mean, you know, when I say that a lot of young cats are going to have to step up with only like 9 scholarship seniors on the entire roster. Hunter Rising with a big catch. You know, and Brian Lewerke going down the field with poise, understanding the situation. You're down. If you win this, you can become bowl eligible. A lot of poise for him in that last drive. Well, that drive with 6 minutes left to lead his team down the field. This Michigan State team now, you know, there's a lot of hype surrounding around Penn State. A lot of hype surrounding around Ohio State right now. Was Michigan. They're not in the fold anymore. But Wisconsin as well. And Wisconsin right now was just kind of just skipping through the field right now because the East is so stacked in comparison to the West right now. But Michigan State has the opportunity to, yet again, we've seen this multiple times throughout Coach D'Antonio's tenure. Michigan State has yet another opportunity, Isaac, to play spoiler for these hyped up teams like Penn State and Ohio State as the year goes along.
And they might. They really might. Looking at this team, they've got that grit where last game, I thought they would lose. And one thing that I wanted to hear after last game was more or less, and you hate to bring up last year again and again, but the difference is just so drastic between these teams from 1 year apart. That's why D'Antonio, I'm with you, should be considered for a Coach of the Year spot. And it's because this team was atrocious last year in almost every facet of the game. The play calling at times was lacking. But Dave Warner, although his play calling was a little bit monotonous through most of that one, mm-hmm. when they needed it, that reverse play to Felton Davis, hallelujah,
nice?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was a great design by Warner. Then you've got the secondary, which was so vulnerable last year. D'Antonio, that's his area of expertise. Look at Justin Lane mm-hmm. on Saturday. He played maybe the best tackling game of anybody on the defense that game, in addition to his usual coverage routine. He's 6'3",
right.
So he's able to vie with all those big receivers, and he needed to against Indiana because Indiana, I really like this guy, Cobbs Jr. for him.
Yeah, Cobbs Jr., right.
But, I mean, Justin Lane matched him tit for tat throughout that game. MSU has just addressed every single area that they needed to going into this year. And again, when it's a game like this, low scoring at your arena, Indiana gains more and more momentum as the game proceeds with this close matchup between the two. And then MSU pulls it out at the end. This team is just very mentally strong, and it could not be more different than last year.
Yeah, they certainly are. And again, you know, to Harpo and Lewerke, you know, he could have easily, because he admitted after the game that he was struggling with accuracy, and he could have easily just got down on himself because, you know, especially with the quarterback position, confidence is everything. Brian Lewerke is a guy who I'm starting to see, if he starts off a bit rocky, he's just used to just kind of just putting everything in the back of his mind, having a short memory, and going out there and just trying to make something happen on the very next drive. He does not let the past, the immediate past, get to him and affect his game. Because, you know, look like the numbers, you know, he threw for, 73 of his 185 yards in the fourth quarter. He made key completions. When I looked at that drive, that go-ahead drive, I mean, he made key completions on third and fourth down attempts to extend drives. That included that crossing route to Cody White, which was huge. And then and that was for 16 yards on a third and 19. And then you had the four-yard fourth down completion to Hunter Rising. And that set up the go-ahead score. Those two plays separate a 6-1 season at this point in the year from a 5-2. Totally different dialogue here on Monday.
And more than that, those plays separate a 6-1 season right now from more like a 2-5 season right now, because MSU's had so many close games that have gone this way.
I totally agree. Let's hit our first break. We do have some comments rolling in. One interesting comment, a bold comment from James Taylor, one of our dear listeners. I'll address this comment in just a moment. Again, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up segment A by chatting about the Michigan State homecoming victory over Indiana on Saturday afternoon. Michigan State now sits at 6-1, bowl eligible, and will now hit the road and head to Evanston, Illinois to take on the Northwestern Wildcats this coming Saturday. And you look at this MSU football team after that. MSU football will then, and this game's going to be huge, will then welcome Penn State to Spartan Stadium on November 4th, and then will hit the road to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes on November 11th. And then they bring it on home with a home matchup against Maryland and then on the road at Rutgers. So I would predict that Michigan State will top Northwestern. I must say, though, Penn State and Ohio State, oh, boy, those are going to be two fun games, especially looking at what Penn State was able to do against Michigan. And speaking of Michigan, well, I want to just transition right now briefly to talk some Michigan football, because Michigan football right now, wow. This fan base has to be really, really frustrated right now. That was a 42-13 loss on the road in Happy Valley against number 2 Penn State Nittany Lions. And, you know, what I learned about this team on Saturday, Isaac, the Michigan Wolverines, is that this offense needs a lot of help. The offense right now, it's the same offense that we saw, you know, with Wilton Spain as quarterback. You know, mm-hmm. John O'Korn, now looking at John's game, I think that I see why Wilton was the starter now. You know, John O'Korn, and you know, you look at his numbers. His numbers weren't horrible in that game.
I don't put it all on him. Yeah.
I don't. I'm just saying the offense just can't, they can't score. They cannot score. They can't put up points, Isaac. They struggle in the red zone. That's been a problem since the very beginning of the year. And even dating back to last year, the run game is inconsistent and there just aren't, they can't make big plays. That's the thing. You know, O'Korn, no, he put up 166 yards on 28 attempts. That's not bad, but it's not blowing your mind either. It's average, you know, at best. The passing game isn't great. Again, you don't see just big plays made in big moments with the Michigan Wolverines. And you got to have that if you're going to beat the Penn States of the college football world. The defense right now, I like the defense. But I do believe that this defense really got exposed on Saturday when it came to a few moments. You know, I saw highlighted on ESPN just how much Michigan's defense struggled to defend slot receivers against Penn State. They really had a long night when it came to that. I mean, safeties Josh Metellus and Tyree Cannell did not have great games, and they gave up far too many big plays. Talk about giving up big plays. They gave up far too many big plays in that matchup. And my goodness, Saquon Barkley. I mean, what do you have, like two scores in the first 6 minutes of the game?
Yeah,
I'm sitting
exactly.
there saying, just give him the Heisman Trophy right now. The kid is absolutely amazing. And you know, funny story real quick, Isaac. my heart kind of skipped a beat on Saturday because I'm tailgating. I'm at the homecoming tailgate for the MSU Black Alumni Association. I'm looking at my phone. And you know how you're like scrolling on the net, right? And all of a sudden, I see something that says, breaking news, Saquon Barkley caught using PEDs. And I'm like, what? What is this? I click on it, and it's like an ad for men's health. And I'm like, it was fake news, basically. It was fake news. But I'm sitting there saying, Saquon Barkley is so good that fake news articles are using his name to try and get clicks. That's how good this kid is, man. He's such a freak athlete that especially when you watch him play, dude, it's like watching a video game. It really is. That catch that he had where he bobbled it in the air and then somehow, some way gets two paws on it. I think he just probably did it for kicks and giggles. He's like played volleyball with it and then just goes in the end zone and touchdown. It's amazing. And that would be the matchup. We previewed that matchup with Alan Gant, you know, former Michigan linebacker. And, you know, I asked him and if he had the answer to this question. Again, Jim Harbaugh needs to hire the man. But right now, nobody has an answer. I asked Alan, what's the key in slowing down Saquon Barkley? Well, I don't know if anybody on planet Earth has the answer to that question.
Yeah, 150 yards between ground and air for Barkley. Like you said, that catch was phenomenal. It's so believable that he would use PEDs because he's just faster, stronger.
Jumps higher than everybody else.
I mean, it is unbelievable how much of a different plateau that this kid is on. And 161 actually yards between ground and air for him. But when it comes to Michigan, I just want to say they're a microcosm of football in that as they go is how the offensive line goes. And right. those are the five most important guys on the field. Seven sacks for Penn State, plus no rusher with more than 45 yards. That's a good rushing group for Michigan.
Right.
That shows where the problem lies.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, right now, do we still have Ray from Indiana on? I want to get to Ray from Indiana. Ray is he's not a big fan of U of M football or U of M period. Let's just put it that way. Ray, I know you're dying to weigh in on this, man. What were your thoughts on U of M's loss to Penn State on Saturday?
Happy days are here again. The bullies are on the bottom again.
Yeah, they certainly are. I mean, they're not ranked in the top 25 now. They started off ranked as a top 10 program. It's got to be pretty surprising, you know, to watch where this program sits
you
in contrast to where it started.
31-17, I give them way too much credit.
Yeah.
42-13. I wish they would have called a timeout when they were on the 3-yard line to score again to make it 49-13. Almost the same score the Bullies put on Penn State last year.
So, Ray, I got to ask you, man.
Let me tell you something. Hey, Jimmy, the Messiah down there. Listen, Jimmy, you're 1-5 against top 10 teams. Two more years of this, Jimmy, and it's bye bye city, Jimmy. Your time's up.
But look, hold on, Ray. You really think if Jim Harbaugh has the type of year that he had this season, next year, he's still going to be the head football coach. They're paying him way too much money right now.
I said two more years. I'll give him 2 more years.
You give him two more years.
They got to go with the Messiah now because they've already fired 3 other football coaches, 3 athletic directors. Hey, it's time to humble yourself down there, Michigan. I'm still waiting for my apology for running me out of the city when I never did anything wrong. I'm still waiting, Ann Arbor.
Ray from Indiana. Ray, thank you, my man. Appreciate your call. I'm pretty sure U of M fans didn't appreciate that call, but Ray, thank you, man. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Before we hit the second break and bring on Zach Isaac, how long is Harbaugh's contract? That's what I meant to ask you.
It's a good question. I want to say it was for 7 years.
Right, it's long. Yeah,
that might sound long for an initial contract, but this is Jim Harbaugh. I mean, Ray uses the term Messiah facetiously, but Jim Harbaugh is a dang good football coach. And if you got to give him 7 years, you give him 7 years.
Yeah, I like him. That's the thing, though. I just thought, you know, this year, Michigan football fans were just a bit unrealistic. I mean, when you have a program like U of M, even though it's U of M, but you have the amount of turnover that they had from last season, the biggest amount of turnover in comparison to any other college football program in the nation. You expect to go to the college football playoff just like that? Patience is certainly a virtue, and I think the football fans out in Ann Arbor are certainly realizing that. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will chat with Zach Berridge of WILX TV 10. Zach will join us here on a Monday. We usually have Zach on a Friday, but he's going to join us on a Monday because yesterday was the revealing of the local high school football playoff pairings. That chat and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. To bring us on home, we will now welcome our dear friend Zach Berridge, sports reporter and anchor at WILX TV 10. We're bringing Zach here on a Monday. We usually have him on a Friday to preview that night in high school football. But the reason we're having him on today because yesterday on FSD, it was of course released the high school football playoff pairings were released, and we have about 20 or so teams that have now made it to the postseason and will be competing for a possible state championship. Zach Berridge, welcome to Current Sports. Zach, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Al, thanks for having me back. I'm over here at the Gilbert Pavilion for the first time at Breslin Center. It's beautiful. I'm just waiting for this Michigan State women's basketball media day to get underway. I'm staring. Well, I'm covered by the rain, so I'm not quite getting wet, but if I start cutting in and out because of reception, just let me know, I guess.
Gotcha. We'll do, man. And this is, I can't believe, Zach, this is your first, because I'll be heading over there, excuse me, literally right after we get off the airwaves to sit in on Susie's press conference and a chat with a few of the women's basketball players. But this is that's your first time at the Pavilion. What are your thoughts, man? Because it blew my mind away when I saw it for the first time on Friday.
Yeah, it's completely different when you walk in here and, you know, as a media member, you go and you cover the team, you take certain routes. It's completely different. I didn't even recognize they're taking different paths to get to the mezzanine level and to the floor and all this stuff. But I love it. It's all, it's you know, it's exactly what $20 million will get you, however many were spent on it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely one of a kind, my man. It sounds like your salary, right? 20 mil, brother. Zach, 21 or so teams will now be competing in local high school football playoff action. First off, dude, I know you probably went out to a few schools last night, you and your team last night, to check out some of the local reaction to seeing that name on the TV screen. If so, where did you guys go, and what was your favorite reaction, your favorite team reaction from last night?
Yeah, I was flying solo last night, so I chose Williamston, in part because Steve Kirsten offered me some free pizza. So I went out to
there you go.
Bagged out in Williamston, yeah. And they knew ahead of time, the team knew, but as a 5-win team, we got a pretty cool reaction from the Hornets because, like I said, they're 5-4, and they drew Lake Fenton, who they just lost to in week 9 on the road. They lost it with 4 seconds left on a Hail Mary, so those guys were itching to get a rematch with them. And then, you know, just looking at their schedule, Williamson is, you know, they don't seem like a 5-4 team because all four of their losses came by, I think, 7-7, 2-3 points. So they were within one score on all their losses. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to see them react. And, they'll be at Lake Fenton. I think all the games are out Friday night at 7 o'clock, save for Portland St. Patrick. They'll be playing on Saturday afternoon, I believe. So good for the Hornets, and hope to see them get a little payback against Lake Fenton.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I saw in the LSJ today that also Maple Valley, another 5-4 team, they also make it to the dance after, accumulating just 5 wins for the season, just coming 1 win short of an automatic berth. Zach, were there any surprises, you know, when looking at the field? And also, as far as the pairings go, you know, those who have a difficult path, just kind of looking at things, you know, who do you expect to have kind of an easy road, and maybe which team out there has a really tough road to try and make it deep in the playoff action?
Yeah, surprises. I don't think there was anyone really left off that could have been. Really, really happy to see Maple Valley get back to it. I think first time since 2005 or something like that. They were one of the schools that, you know, we were kind of pulling for. We were hoping for Perry to get in this year too, but I think they came up a win short. So yeah, good to see the Lions back in there. I think interesting, like it always is I don't have the list in front of me. It's Division 5. The district around here is going to be pretty interesting because on one pairing, you've got Overdelsey and Portland. And Overdelsey 7-2. Their only losses came to Portland back in week 1 and Ithaca, I believe week 7 or 8 or something like that. So, you know, those are pretty good losses if you want to call. So they get the rematch there. In Portland, and by the way, the Marauders only lost the game by 9 points, so it could be a close one again. And then on the other side of that district is Lansing Catholic, and, you know, this is the first time, at least I can remember, that they started things on the road. They're a 7-2 team, but it's well-deserved because they're heading to Olivet, which is 8-1. They came up a win short of going a perfect 9-0 in week 9, and they lost to one of those Battle Creek schools, which I thought they were going to beat. So that'll be a good one, too, and then the winner of Portland over to LC will play the winner of Catholic Olivet, and that's kind of the one that, I'm really keeping my eye on. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Definitely, for sure. And again, we'll have you on later on this week to help, preview, week 1 of the local high school football playoff scene. Definitely looking forward to that. And also, you know, Zach, since you're at the Breslin right now, getting ready for Susie to speak in about 7 minutes now. I mean, what excites you? You know, we've talked a lot about the MSU men's basketball program, and later on this evening, we'll also have a report, a 2-minute drill report via facebook.com/currentsportscentered on the MSU women's basketball team. But what excites you about the Spartan women on the hardwood this season, Zach?
Yeah, sorry, I cut out a bit there. I think you asked me about the women's team coming up.
Yeah, what excites you about this year for Susie's squad?
Yeah, I mean, I think the real buzz is, well, obviously when you lose an all everything point guard like Torrey Jankauskas, who's going to step up into those shoes? And being an East Lansing for 1 year type person, I think Tara McCutcheon is going to take, you know, really, really, really assume that kind of not a Jankauskas role, but a more prominent role. And she'll be taking more shots, and what they say, you get the most improvement from year one to year two. So looking forward to her. And then the buzz is also around this McDonald All-American Sydney Cooks. I saw her play at Moneyball over the summer. She looks pretty good, and saw her at practice on the first time we could see. And she's tall, and she's going to be involved right away. Her and Taya Reimer are going to be a pretty good duo up front. So you know what? When you lose a player like that, it's never easy to replace, and you're not necessarily trying to replace somebody like that. You can't.
Right.
But they've got some good talented players that are still developing and coming up and should be able to step up when they need to.
All right. Our guy, Zach Berridge, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. Zach, get back to work. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Al.
Isaac, you probably saw the highlights from MSU Madness on Friday, man. You know, and I didn't address this at the beginning of the hour, but I feel like, and Tom did talk about this, but I feel like they're running out of ideas now. You know, I think the general reaction, you know, watching Tom Izzo, they, you know, now I also want to give a big shout out to DJ Quicksilva, who was kind of like my co-MC that night as well, because DJ Quicksilva is the DJ of the Washington Wizards, the NBA's Washington Wizards. And they brought him in to do MSU Madness, and the dude was unbelievable. Oh, man. Tom Izzo, he was so good. Tom Izzo actually gave him a shout-out during his after his speech when he came out and introduced the crowd, well, addressed the crowd, excuse me. But, you know, Tom came out, you know, and they made a, I don't know if you guys have seen the Washington Nationals mascot race that they do at the baseball field, but they made a Tom Izzo, like, 10-foot tall or 20-foot tall, I don't know how tall it was, mascot of Coach Izzo. And I thought Izzo was going to be in the costume at first, but it wasn't him, and he came out and just kind of took the mic. But I feel like they're running out of ideas, Isaac. Don't you feel like that?
Yeah, I do.
He's done so much, man.
I was expecting something big, and you know when Xavier Tillman told us that he wanted to do something with Coach Izzo again, flying in from the rafters. Again, that's been done kind of before. So there only are a few ideas left out there, and some of them might be too raunchy or political or who knows what. But, you know, Tom Izzo, he wants to push the limit. But at the same time, when a team's so good, it sells itself.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. And I want to get to, we have about just 2 minutes left. I want to give 30 seconds to, we do have a caller right now online too. We've got Robert from Lansing that wants to address Mr. Saquon Barkley. Real quick, Robert, thanks for calling, man. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good afternoon, man. How's it going?
I'm fantastic, man.
Yeah, I have a comment with Barkley. I'll disagree slightly because I've watched a lot of Penn State backs over the years. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's like the Heisman frontrunner or like the great, great player that like Adrian Peterson was.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, because I noticed on his, and I know they don't have much of a passing game, Penn State, or it's average, maybe above average, but when I watch him, if you take away like his one long run that he typically has the game, then I don't see what he does outside of that. I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but they're acting like he's like the for sure Heisman winner. And I look at a guy like Love over at Stanford.
So you like Bryce Love. Okay. I think Bryce is in second place right now. I'm still going with Saquon, but I kind of see what you're saying, and tomorrow on Current Sports we'll break down the Heisman race and I'll play devil's advocate when it comes to that opinion. But thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are out of time. Real briefly, you know, weekend winners. We don't have to play the intro music, guys. We'll just go right into it, dude. For me, it was MSU football. That's an obvious choice. That is like the clear cut choice right there. But I also want to bring up, you know, the NBA. The NBA has been fascinating to watch.
It has.
So far this year. Did you catch OKC and Minnesota last night?
I was watching it live. And you know, as a basketball player, you just have a feeling sometimes that something special is going to happen.
Yeah.
When Andrew Love. I did love the play, but Andrew Wiggins,
right,
when he took that pick from Carl Anthony Towns, it was a moving screen. Let's not get
it
twisted.
It was.
But once he got around that, he had a good look. I thought that was buckets, and it was.
And I'm going to address also Kyrie Irving going at it with a fan that kind of poked a jab at LeBron James. I don't know if you saw that, but Kyrie Irving has been fined due to that.
Do you think he should have clapped back or no?
Yeah, but not that way. Not that way. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Same time, same place, right here on WKAR. I'm Al Martin. Be easy, people.